Hey guys, today I'm very excited because I've got a very good friend and personal mentor of mine, Charlie Valla. Charlie's a crypto warrior, but more importantly, he's the co-founder of Outsourcing Angels. And Charlie, mate, tell us about you.
Oh, thanks for having me, Baz. I'm really humbled to be here. It's something I'm really happy to be a part of. I suppose, where do you start? So, very well introduced as the crypto warrior. No, that's a complete joke. Crypto is definitely not what I'm known for. But I suppose my pride and what gets me up in the morning is business. So, I guess where it all comes back from is, yes, I'm the co-founder of Outsourcing Angel. That's a offshore outsourced company in the Philippines that's been my pride and joy, if you will, for the last few years. And I suppose more recent times, I've worked very hard to kind of automate and outsource myself from that business so that I can come and play and do other things like crypto or spend time with you and get to do fantastic podcasts
or,
like this.
Or go and get a haircut and work out. You're looking quite buff today, Charlie.
I knew this was going to come up. I'm feeling very well groomed and postured. I must admit, there's those days where you get up in the morning and it's like, you know, you're going to be on camera for an interview or something like this. And I was like, I'm not looking my best. This isn't my A game that I'm bringing to these things. So I thought I would just give myself a little bit of time in the afternoon to go and get a fresh haircut.
Manscaped.
Yeah. And then spend a little bit of time in the gym so that you'll notice I'm kind of sitting very straight because I did some like the pull-ins. So I'm kind of...
No, but seriously though, that aside, look, we like to have fun and business is definitely a place to have a hell of a lot of fun. But I suppose what I'd love to talk about, or like it's very open, but we can steer it anyway, is just more around adversity and this topic around challenge and struggle. You know, I know that you do a little bit of mentoring and you are in a lot of different entrepreneurial circles and business groups and you'd hear a lot of things, and I suppose for us too, you know, we work with a lot of clients, we speak with a lot of people every single week, and we see a staggering amount of people that are just experiencing a lot of challenge and a lot of adversity in life. And equally too, on the other side, we see people that are experiencing a lot of success, a lot of fulfillment, a lot of love. And it's a controversial topic because I suppose when I look back, you know, I went bankrupt 7 years ago, 7.5, 8 years ago for $1.2 million. At the time, it was the most stressful and emotional and horrific experience that I've ever had in my life, and one that I never wish on anyone. But looking back now, here 7.5, 8 years later, had it not have been for that, I wouldn't be where I am right now. You know, we wouldn't have the game changed. We wouldn't be changing the lives of hundreds of people around the world every single year because of that one defining moment. Yet at the time, it was just so painful. It was so painful.
There is so much truth in that. And I don't think I've met one person that I would consider successful that hasn't experienced a moment or a huge amount of challenge or had something similar happen to them. And I'm no different. Like when we said, oh, you know, challenge, which one? I've got several we can look into. And I honestly feel much the same in that the success I have today or the things that I deem as have been successful have been directly correlated to things that would be challenges. Like there's an absolute connection. So I'll give you the one at the moment. Like quite often, one of the things I'll say cop a little bit of stick for is that I don't have to go into work any day. I live a very, very great flexible lifestyle where my company and business runs without me. So often I'll get, you know, things that are like, oh, you know, what's on for today? Bit of sun or gym and a haircut before coming into a podcast. But in reality, I only created that because my previous business, I worked myself into burnout that was absolutely crazy. So I was working 7 days a week. I was working astronomical hours. I wasn't spending time with friends or family. And it's kind of like one of those things where it's like, I always call it the girlfriend syndrome. It's like if you have a relationship and it doesn't work out, whatever you didn't like about that partner, you try and make sure the next one doesn't have. So if the last partner was like a blonde who drove you up the wall, very controlling, then you'll go for a blonde, free-haired spirit on the next one.
Or a brunette even.
A brunette.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you kind of, you always learn from that experience and you move on. And it's much the same in business where I kind of feel like we go through evolvements. So we hit stages when we get really uncomfortable or feel really challenged. So for me, really, really burnt out. Felt horrible. Couldn't work this thing out. I was like working, you know, stupid amount of hours every week and then wasn't enjoying the success, time or freedom I thought I deserved for the amount of work I was putting in. but really I was doing the wrong things. I never would have searched out for those right things in that scenario without that from there. So every challenge I kind of look back on and I'm incredibly grateful for at this point, because without them, I wouldn't have ever put the effort or energy in to create the other side of that. And that's been something you become massively humbled for, and even the same for you. Like, you don't hide away from that. You realize that, oh, hang on, without it, I wouldn't get to play in the things I get to play in today.
But how can we really maximize on those challenges? Like, you mentioned before that, you know, it was through doing all the wrong things that you had that experience, that then started doing the right things. But what is that internal gauge, or what has to happen for us to start taking action on activities the highest and best use of our time? Yeah, this is the thing, is that, you know, if you look at life is experienced through duality, right? There's light and there's dark, and you know, there's two sides of the coin and all the rest of it. Life is experienced through duality, yet often we don't seek out challenge. Like, it's not something that we wake up and it's like, shit, I'm just going to go and find the biggest fucking challenge that I can today, and I'm going to nail it. Like, it's not something we do, right? Generally speaking, we're always looking to move towards some level of success, whether it be a certain monetary level, a certain, you know, type of relationship that we'd like to have, or, you know, certain attributes in business. But, you know, what do you think, you know, from your experience, because you're one of very few people that I know that has created a life that truly most people dream of. You know, you've got a business that continues to grow, that doesn't require you to be there every day of the week, if really ever, right? Now, that's something that most people aspire to. But what do you think is a key ingredient to achieving something like that?
Oh, I'm going to say it's pain, in all honesty. Well, it was for me anyway. I think you said something that was really on point there, is that I often wonder if people like Elon Musk, who I consider like a very aspirational entrepreneur, is you look at the challenge he's chasing, and it's like he's trying to get people on Mars. And it's like, you look at that in comparison, if a guy is chasing that type of thing, it's no surprising that he's getting the success in other realms. So I look at very, very successful people, or I deem successful, and you can see they are chasing those big things. They are. And there's a huge amount of success that comes from that. But what I see in the average business owner, or the most people I speak to, is they live in this like middle ground. So it's like there's some challenge in their life, but it's not their life falling apart. So it's not enough to make them want to make a difference or change, but it's not too much so it's not too much pain where they're like, right, that's it, I'm not doing this anymore.
Had enough, yep.
Tomorrow's it. But on the other side, it's not giving them enough where they're happy. So what they end up is what I call a zombie business owner. So you meet these people where it's like they've, and I don't want to offend anyone, but it's like quite often I'll come across a business owner and you can see that their soul's being crushed and they're actually that zombie. So they didn't achieve their dreams and goals, got stuck in this middle ground from here, but then they're getting paid enough or making enough that they keep doing the same thing, and then they start to look a little bit kind of leaning in.
Do you think it's like complacency or comfort that prevents them from truly succeeding? Like, I think most people I speak to, you know, go into business because they want to experience some form of a greater life or experience of life than what they've had in the past. And there's also some form of deep aspiration or desire to make some form of difference or contribute in some way. It might be at a local level, it might be at a global level. Yet, like you say, I see people often hit that stagnation or that point of almost being stuck in that middle zone, in neutrality in many ways. It's not too much painful that they've got to go out there, but it's not so much pleasure either that drives them to experience more of that pleasure. I don't know, do you think that it's comfort? It's like, you know, when they're down here, they're stuck in almost survival mode. So they're out there hustling, they're making phone calls, they're turning over rocks, they're doing whatever it takes because they've got to pay the bills, they've got to pay their staff. Once they achieve that level where, you know what, I haven't kind of had any phone calls from my creditors lately, like I'm kind of paying my bills on time and I can kind of afford to put fuel in my car, do you think there's that level of complacency that stops people from really experiencing the motivation or the desire to achieve something great?
Ooh, so this is, I'm gonna say something that might be a little bit controversial here, but it's like, I 100% agree with that massively. Like, comfort is an issue, and how people behave when they're making no money and they've got bills to pay versus how they pay when they're earning above their bill capacity is very, very different.
Mm.
So this is like something I've been thinking about a lot, is like maybe keeping up with the Joneses is a good thing. So maybe, you know, we say, oh, you know, you shouldn't be trying to keep up with the Joneses, it's all a waste. But if you're a business owner and you say, let's say you're at the 1 mil level, if you start hanging out with the business owners that are playing at the 10 mil level, I'll guarantee there is a level of discomfort that's created, that pain you mentioned before, where all of a sudden you create that motivation. So something I'm huge on, which you're not going to be surprised with, is being very, very specific and choosing who you associate yourself with. So if you're in an area where you say that comfort's in, I would often want to look at that person's life and go, well, who are the other business owners you're hanging around it? Where do you sit? And if it's middle tier in all the averages, then obviously, you know, that guy driving past in the new Bentley isn't getting under your skin a little bit to invite you to do that. And I'm not saying you have to be after materialistic things, we're just using financial because it's tangible. But if you're someone, let's say, that wants to give back to the world, which is very important for me, so Outsourcing Angel does a lot of charity stuff in the Philippines. So we run a lot of, you know, trainings, and we give back to the communities, and we put kids through school because the Philippines is an amazing place that's given a lot to us. But what actually motivates me and what really gets me on point is the brand thank you. So whenever I get thank you water, I sit there and I'm like, I'm almost a little bit angry at the bottle of water, because I'm like, why aren't I giving back on that level?
Yeah.
And it's that creating that discomfort through association, or in this case, a product, can be really, really powerful in taking you to that direction. Which, if I don't know if you've read Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, but he almost like hints towards that in through the book in the Mastermind Theory.
Many people say that you're a product of your environment, or that your net worth is equivalent to your network, that you're the equivalent of the top five people you hang around with, right? So you talked before about association. So is it, because there's two ways you can look at this, there's probably actually multiple ways, but there's two ways I can see this right now. So is it hanging around these people, like you're a $1 million business and you start hanging around people that have got a $5 or a $10 million business? Is it the motivation that you're wanting to keep up with the Joneses, and almost a sense of resourceful ego, you know, from that motivational perspective, or is it the knowledge that's being instilled upon them that allows you to transition forwards, or could it be both?
I'm 100% convinced it's both.
Right. So what would it take then, or is it even possible for us to experience the internal motivation enough to achieve what we want to achieve?
I'll give you another scenario that's really interesting, and it actually happened to me today while I was at the gym, coincidentally. Okay, so I'm in the gym and I go over to the squat rack and I grab the weights and I put it on there and I'm setting the bar up and all the rest. And, you know, I did a set at whatever.
Did you go to a real man's gym?
That's it. 100%. Right. You know my theory on environment. I go and hang where the monsters hang out because I want to be a monster. Easy how I get my gang. But that's a different story. But what's interesting is that, so there's just me in there originally, and there's two squat racks next to each other. And so I've got my squat rack on, and I've got the weights on, and I do my set, and I'm feeling like a big deal. Like, I lifted well today for me. I was like, yeah.
Until you knew you had a podcast to record, right?
Absolutely. But what's interesting is that's what I believed was good. So that was the benchmark.
That was your internal calibration. That was your benchmark, yeah.
Yeah. So until the monster comes up the stairs and he warms up basically on the weight I'm lifting and throws it around like it was nothing. And I'm like, well, hang on, that's how far I can actually go. So when it comes to business, it's like, if you're setting that internal calibration where it's like, you think, you know, a million is a good weight to put on the bar, it's, you're not actually ever seeing what's possible in that same environment. You're probably even running internal beliefs on, you know, well, the guys that are making 10 million or their daddy gave it to them. Or the guys that are, you know, doing 100 million are, you know, they just know the right people. It's not me. Where I think when you're in that environment, I was like, well, for me, literally, it was a dude that was next to me. And I'm like, well, all of a sudden, he's got that. So then I was like, well,
doesn't matter that he's 10 times the size of you, right? There's still this
part. It looked like he could eat me, but that's not the point.
Yeah. It's interesting, right? Because we're talking about, like, it's an inwards game. You know, personal growth is a game of inner game. I honestly believe that. And I honestly believe that you can't experience something outside of yourself that you don't first experience inside of yourself. So how can we leverage or I often use a word like the terminology checkmate? How can we checkmate ourselves? Because had that guy not have come up, right, you would have walked away feeling like you had lifted well, because that's where your kind of, you know, comfort level was in terms of your comfort level of like a shit lift's here, a great lift's here. I'm lifting. I'm on par with that. But how can we constantly stretch ourselves? And is it something we can do internally, or do we need to just find people or environments out there that consistently stretch us?
Yeah, so that's where I think it's a tough question, because I think some people are naturally born to, you know, they do push themselves really, really well, and that's great. That's not me. Mm. I'll be honest with you. Like, I can't internally calibrate myself to reach for things. I find that discomfort works. Mm. So I actively seek out environments and situations. Mm. So this is why I think, you know, for instance, you know, the joke was, what gym do you go to? Mm. Like, I go to a meathead gym because that's where the big boys hang out, and that's where the serious,
you know, that's what motivates you.
Correct. Now, in business, this is where I think programs like the Opulence are so important, because it's like that, it's that exact same scenario, but in your business. And you can do this in every area of your life. Mm. So when I look at it, I'm like, where I've had success and like what's helped me a lot is, number one is like, hang out where the people who have, be, or do what you want are. And then the next part of that is engage with them, talk with them, look at what they're doing. If, you know, if the monster in the gym is doing a certain exercise and he's a monster, do that exercise. Mm. If he says he's eating 4 dozen eggs a day and he looks reasonably healthy, that might be a way to consider. But I don't think people take enough of an advantage of that. Yes. And I'll even go a step further in saying that, like, I hire great mentors and coaches. Like, I don't even pretend I don't, and I certainly wouldn't be where I am today without having them around me. Mm. So it's like, you know, again, it doesn't, you don't have to limit this to business. This is everything. It's like, if you want to be a great cook, like, cooking something I've become very fascinated with, like, I don't just, you know, go to the local supermarket, buy random ingredients and see if I can make a meal work. It's like, you know, I actively go to cooking classes. I actively seek out videos on YouTubes and courses so I can learn how to make sauces and all kinds of things. And it's like amazing how quick you can get a lift in an area based on that.
Mm.
But sadly, it's, if you looked at it hard enough, you'd think that most business owners don't actively have a mentor or coach in that capacity. I say most, many do, but a lot of that complacent level, which we were kind of mentioning there, you would find they are probably, you know, not hanging around the right people, no mentors and coaches.
And even possibly having mentors and coaches, but being complacent with the mentors and coaches because you always had them and you're afraid of kind of, you know, leaving the home and venturing out in the wild. Yeah, you raise a really interesting point, and I'm so glad that we got there. It's like we're totally on the same wavelength here. But, you know, my question or my challenge was to you was like, you know, is it even possible for us to be internally motivated enough to make these shifts or changes? And you touched on a really beautiful point, which, you know, I think it's more important, and I'll kind of frame what you've said and just correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's more important to actually understand yourself and understand how you operate, understand what motivates you. You know, are you a moving towards motivated person or moving away from? You know, are you someone that naturally moves away from pain in life, or are you someone that naturally moves towards the carrot? You know, are you a carrot or a stick person? And what you shared is what I also believe as well, is that if you understand yourself enough, you can then utilize the external environment to motivate you internally. Right? If you know you're someone that needs, you know, massive dudes walking around the gym to motivate you to add an extra couple of kilos on your bench press, go and work out at one of those gyms. Don't sign up to a gym that, you know, has got all these skinny dudes that are on treadmills. Right? True, though, right?
Absolutely.
So constantly seek out those environments that are going to push you. Like, don't go and join a badminton class of people that are of a lower caliber. Because you're not going to be given the chance to stretch and grow and evolve. Go and join a class where the caliber is so much way higher than you that you have to grow into the version of you capable of winning a game with them.
There's even something in there where I think a lot of people are scared of being the worst in the room.
Yeah.
And it's like, totally. It's confronting.
It's ego though, right?
Absolutely.
Insecurity.
And it's very easy to say that or get that. And, you know, it's a very powerful emotion when we feel we don't belong in a room.
Mm.
But it's like, if you're in there and you're, you know, let's pretend hypothetically you feel that you're, you know, the least educated or the smallest business or the least muscles or whatever it is, and you're not willing to embrace that, then you serve yourself a disadvantage.
Yeah, and what I'd say is to you know, do you want to feel comfortable? Or do you want to be rich? You know, do you want to be wealthy? And when I say rich and wealthy, I don't specifically mean money. You know, there's so much more to life than money, but money definitely does buy a lot of things and allow you to contribute to a lot of people. And rich is not just financial, but rich in every aspect. And if you're going through life looking for the next rock to feel comfortable with, you're going to live a very comfortable life. And you're also not allowing yourself to give your gifts that have been given to you to the world.
Absolutely. And like, I'll share a little bit more on that. Is like, in 2016, I had an experience where I had glandular fever. So in 2016, I got very ill with glandular fever and had to take some time off from business. And I was so cooked. I remember that there was literally a day when I went and I was trying to clean a frying pan because I just, you know, made some food. I kept cleaning it and I couldn't get it clean. And I was going over and over again to the point where I'm like, hang on, I'm actually trying to clean my shadow off a frying pan. So I knew that it was, there's no point in me being in business if that's what I'm going to be there. So I took that time off. And at the point, I was very introverted. I was very compelled to kind of stay in my own thing because, you know, all the rest of it. But it was like that change in environment led into me wanting to become more extroverted so that I could do things like this. So wow. In that journey after, it was like I was very much a person that wanted to keep to myself. And then I decided to go, well, right, how am I going to challenge myself is to start doing extroverted activities. Now, we've joked about like speaking, about how like we've spoken at some events together and like how that's been something I'm like, well, I'm working my way up to it, because it's only in more recent times that I've started, you know, hanging more around people like you who are naturally more extroverted and can easily be on camera. And like, I've noticed that change in myself, and it's that next phase of development. Mm. So it still comes back to these like key ingredients here about going through, okay, had the pain or change. So had something I went through where there was a time of discomfort, then led into, okay, well, how do I change my environment, find the right mentors and people I want to hang out so that I can start behaving in this way, shape or form. Mm. So I think if, you know, for anyone watching this, that's the recipe. If you want to get a change or a lift in any area, whether it's finance, personally, relationships, wealth, cooking, crypto.
Yeah, well, look at... there's an analogy, I'm not going to try to do it justice, but it's about birds and the way that they formate in the air and the way that they follow each other, because they essentially stay in each other's airspace, which means it's less resistance, it's less energy exuded for them to continue to fly together. And you watch them, they actually swap who is that front in the formation. And it's very similar in business, is try and find people you can kind of come under the wing with or walk beside as you get that lift up into the next level, the next level, the next level. And I suppose, you know, continue to pursue greatness and realize that the challenges, I think the biggest challenges, experiences are more insights into how well you're actually doing in many ways. You know, I often see clients that have big situations happen. I'm like, this is amazing, the breaks on the other side, this is going to be huge. You know, like big problems allow us to have big success. The bigger the problems, the bigger opportunity for success.
Oh, yes. It's just very hard to enjoy it at the time.
Yeah. So how do you do that? Like, you know, you're someone who, you know, we've hung out and known each other for a long time, and you're someone that strikes me as being quite balanced in terms of emotionally. Nothing seems to kind of get too much of a rise out of you. So, you know, has that always been that way for you?
Oh, no. So... 2017 was the year of personal development for me. I'd spent so many years developing myself in business. Like I don't even want to count the amount of money I'd spent or the amount of courses I had done, because it would be astronomical. And I'd hit a point where I kind of realized, it was like, okay, well, you spent all this money and energy on business stuff, but you haven't spent anything on yourself, like your own personal stuff. And to be honest, I was a very emotional person, like riding the roller coaster of ups and downs throughout it. And then I came across people that, you know, seemed to have their shit together. And I'm like, well, hang on, there's got to be a way. So decided to venture down the path of personal development and learning much more about myself and my comings so that I know how to deal with these situations better. The one thing is, though, that, you know, repetition is an amazing thing. So I can look back on my life now and go, you know, every mistake and disaster and perceived huge challenge turned into something awesome. And I'm aware of that. And I feel like, you know, I still might get a little bit riled up. Don't get me wrong. I have my days. But inevitably, I can sit there and go, do you know what? Whatever's happening right now is likely to turn into something awesome, because, you know, history is just repeating itself here. So maybe the better way I could even frame that or look at that in future is maybe I should seek out these bigger, you know, perceived disasters or challenges so that I can grow and push to those next levels.
Yeah, yeah. What would be, like, you've been in business for a while now, what would be a key thing that you think would be of value to people out there right now that are kind of stuck in their business and maybe riding that bit of an emotional roller coaster? What would be one key bit of advice? Like, if you look back over the last few years, what's been that one moment that just sticks in for you when you just got something?
Do I have to put it down to one?
Right, share a few, for sure.
Okay, so the single best piece of advice I ever got was, who do you listen to? People who have been and do what you want.
Mm.
Like that has served me so, so well time and time again.
So don't listen to broke, you know, don't allow broke people to give you investment advice.
Correct.
Yeah.
So time and time again, that's really, really helped me understand and grow.
Mm.
Second thing comes back to association and mentorship. So it's like, well, okay, based on that, hang around the people who have been, do what you want,
mm.
and then actively seek out and pay mentors who are going to be able to pass that stuff on to you. And I just feel like it's the secret sauce, and I'm sure it's nothing that hasn't been heard before, but it just proves to be so true so often.
Mm.
But the last thing I want to throw on there, and this is something that I think will help people specifically that might have been hurting that, and it's the word loyalty.
Mm.
I just find, and I was looking at someone's business today, is they were being so loyal to the business that they created that they couldn't see that all the skills, resources, and everything they have could take them so much further in a completely different business. But they were being super, super loyal to all the blood, sweat, and tears that they put in, like they didn't want that to fail. So I've reflected a lot on that, and I was thinking about it quite a lot today of, like, you know, what are the things I'm being loyal to in my life that maybe aren't serving me because I can't look that layer deeper.
Mm.
So, you know, for instance, I've got, I do a podcast, I've got a podcast, but if the opportunity came up tomorrow where YouTube or Facebook was going to become the platform that would, you know, achieve everything that I wanted, would I still be loyal to doing that podcast because I've set it up, I've got the team, I've, you know, put the process in place? So I think a lot of people as a business are being loyal to something that just doesn't work anymore.
I love that.
And then if you break that down even further, that's maybe people in their business that they like and they're loyal to them, but they're not serving their business as they should be. Or is that products and services? Is that what we do as a business? Maybe we're, you know, trying to sell the yellow pages to everyone, but like the internet's happened, guys.
Yeah.
So, you know, what is that, you know, what loyalties am I holding at the moment that maybe aren't doing it? It's a tough one to reflect on. You might have to ask someone else to have a look with that different eye, but I think that's a huge thing.
Mm. And I think one thing that I've noticed out of that too is just your ability to ask quality questions of yourself. And I suppose it's been something for me as well, you know, like I've been fortunate enough the last 3 months, I haven't spent a huge amount of time in the business. I've, you know, hired some really good teams and we've set some really good systems up, and it's given me a lot of chance to reflect. You know, prior to that, I would get up in the morning and I'd be back-to-back appointments between, you know, sales calls or client appointments or staff meetings for 8-9 hours a day back-to-back. And like I literally finish, you know, put the phone down and pick it back up again to dial someone. And I thought that that was being efficient and effective, you know, like I was very much around, you know, you've only got so many hours in a day and they need to be used kind of thing, like back-to-back. And I remember hearing from a mentor last year, I watched some sort of training or something he did, and he mentioned about the importance of spending some time to reflect on conversations or experiences. And so, you know, after meetings or after appointments, to spend 15, 30 minutes to reflect on that and to take notes and to really just dive into, you know, how you showed up and how the other person showed up, and just spend some time sitting in that experience by yourself, even after the experience had kind of ended. And I remember at the time kind of firstly thinking, well, that's not the most effective use of my time do that, but then equally too, it's like, well, that's possibly why I'm so fried as well at that time. You know, like, you know, getting off the phone on a sales conversation, then needing to be there for a staff member that needed you, getting a phone to a staff member and having to jump onto a client call, like, and it was just, you're having to be so many different people, like, in an instant and adapting, but equally too, you know, really wearing thin, I suppose, in your pathways and your ability to show up in these different forms. And so after that, I started to take this time to stop in between meetings and just reflect. And I honestly found that the results and the improvements, not just in business, but in every area of life, were exponential, like my health, my emotional state, my energy, my personal relationship with my kids or my partner, all changed for the better. and I was shitloads more productive, and it forced me to find other ways to still get the same amount of appointments or work done. But probably the biggest thing is just the ability to sit down, and some of the greatest ideas have been after an appointment finished and you reflect on that appointment. And I think that I like that about you. It's like you didn't just meet with this client, with this person's business today. You then went, okay, well, that was what was going on for them, but how is that going on for me? And I think that's really important, because how many times, maybe you can relate, maybe the guy there that can relate, how many times do you find yourself giving someone really amazing advice and then you stop and think, shit, I need to hear this right now? Like, have you ever had that experience where you're giving advice and partway through there's this voice in the head going, are you listening? Have you ever noticed that?
I often think that's the universe playing irony. It can be. And certainly, like, I've had times when I've... So this is in the outsourcing business. He's like, I've told someone to outsource something, and I was like, oh, I did that this morning. And it was like, I shouldn't be doing that. Yeah, so I'm really big on you've got to do what you do. So yeah. Nothing frustrates me more is when you get advice from someone who's in a position of, you know, like on the stage, let's say, and they're saying, hey, let's do this. And then they actually don't do that thing. So for me in my life, I've made a point of being very integral, of making sure that, well, if I'm going to give someone that advice, I must also follow it. So when it comes to the outsourcing business particularly, it's turned into, okay, well, if I'm going to tell other people to outsource, then I need to make sure that I outsource and that I outsource all things. So if I'm going to give someone advice or something popped up like that situation, I always make sure to correct it.
100%.
But, you know, the universe often gives us clues and it gives us signs, and I'm a huge believer in that, you know, things can come through that way where it's like, you know, that was the exact thing that I was meant to listen to as well.
Yes.
So yeah. Definitely, and I'm huge on reflection time and thinking time. Like, I always give myself space, particularly in the mornings, where I'll write or reflect or look at things and rethink about situations so that I can go kind of deeper. And a phenomenal resource on this has been the book by Ray Dalio, Principles, where he just lays out so many great mental models for thinking and reflecting and how to view things. And I almost feel like I've become a little bit more like Ray. Well, hopefully, I don't know what he's really like, but it's like I like to think I'm becoming more like Ray, because I just aspire to have that quality of thinking in my life everywhere.
Yeah. Mate, definitely some knowledge bombs. I really appreciate your time. I really appreciate your mentorship and coming in today. And I'm sure the guys and girls out there that are listening in got some knowledge bombs. So there you have it, Charlie Valla from Outsourcing Angels, aka Ray. If any of the guys out there want to get in touch, maybe they're wanting to hire some phenomenal angels to assist with outsourcing some of their stuff, how can they reach out to you guys?
So best way to get in contact is through the website outsourcingangel.com. There's also a lot of great info products which you can grab for free, and books on how to get outsourcing happening in your business more productively.
Cool. Thanks for your time.
No, thank you. Dude.